Well, good evening. It's good to be here on this warm, sunny day in Come and Worship Our God, whether we're online or whether we're here in the building. Campers, have you had a good day? Yeah? Thumbs up. That's really good. And I can like to welcome Joel. Joel Shaw is from Guildford, Chertsey Street, has come down to take our service tonight. How does God respond to us? And Joel's going to come and teach us from Luke 15, how does God respond to us? Now, we were all challenged this morning. I don't know if you were challenged, but I was challenged. Am I here to hear? I wonder why we've come tonight. Am I here what God is going to say to me tonight? Let's just open with prayer. Let's just ask God to help us to do that. Father God, we ask that as we come into your presence that you would be with us. We pray and ask that you would help us to be able to concentrate and to worship and to praise you and to listen to what you have to say to us. And help us to not only listen, but to learn and to help us to put it into practice in our lives. We ask this for your honour and glory. Amen. Well, our first hymn tonight is In Christ Alone. And if you are looking for the best thing that's not Jesus, you're looking in the wrong direction. And this hymn helps us. In Christ Alone, my hope is found. Let's stand and sing with the music.
Thank you.
Let's just pray again. Let's bow our heads and our hearts as we return to God the Father in love. We thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for his willingness to come and die and to take the punishment that we deserve. We ask that everyone here in this room would be looking to you as their hope, looking to you for the forgiveness of their sins, knowing that when you faced the Father's anger, you were doing it for all those who would come and ask to be forgiven. And we pray that that would be every one of us here in this chapel building tonight. We pray that we would love you more. Help us as we realise what you have gone through for us to love you more. Help us to serve you more in our lives. Help us to do that. We come acknowledging that we are sinful and we need your help. And we pray that you would give us. We pray that you would be with us again. We ask for your honour and glory. Amen. If you can turn with me in your Bibles or on your screens, or you're welcome to follow on the screens either side, we are in Luke 15, which if you're in a chapel Bible is on page 874, Luke chapter 15, and we are reading the first 10 verses. It's two parables that Jesus has told, the parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the lost coin. So Luke 15, verses 1 to 10. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable. "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbours, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbours, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." And we look forward, Joel, to you teaching us from your word after we've sung and prayed again. We're going to sing our next hymn, which is "And Can It Be?" And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Saviour's blood? Let's stand and sing with the music.
Thank you.
Well, let's come before that great God in prayer again. Let's pray. We thank you, Father God, that not only did you show your love to us through sending the Lord Jesus Christ, but you gave us your Holy Spirit to help us, to teach us about our sinfulness. And we know that without the work of the Holy Spirit, we would not be here. And we pray that he would be active in all of our lives. For those who do not know you, we pray that he would soften hard hearts. He would make blind eyes see and deaf eyes hear. And for us that do know you, we pray that we would be sensitive to him as he leads and guides and directs our lives. Help us to be listening however you use him to speak to us. And we know, Father God, that you speak to us in many ways. Help us to be listening, whether it's through a sermon preached in this chapel, whether it's through reading our Bibles on a daily basis, whether it's for the campers, through the talks today, through the talks this week, or the discussion groups afterwards, or the Bible readings in the morning, whether it's through being outside in creation, or on a dark night when we see the multitude of stars, you are speaking to us. We ask that you would help us to listen. We ask that you would help us to understand. We ask that in love that you would draw us into your kingdom. And we thank you that you're a God who cares for every aspect of our lives, which is why you've told us to cast our cares and concerns on you, because you're a God who cares for us. And we want to remember this week of camp. We want to bring all the campers before you. We want to ask that this week they'd have a really good time. It would be good fun. That the weather would be suitable for the activities that they are doing. That everyone would be kept safe and there'd be no injuries. But we do ask that you would speak to them personally and show them what a saviour you are. We ask for any who are not on camp that may be going through troubles of various types. Some we know about, some we don't. But we're so thankful that we and they can bring these troubles to you in the quietness of a prayer, wherever they may be, knowing that you're a God who hears us when we pray to you. And you're a God who answers with an answer that is best for us. It might not be what we are expecting, but you know what is good for us. We pray that if we are in difficulties, that you would strengthen, that you would comfort, that you would give peace, that you would help us. We do remember James and Rachel, as they've now returned back to Cyprus, and ask that you would be with them. Help them to settle back in to that routine and pray that you would bless their work there in your church in Lefkosia. May they see much fruit from your word as they reach out into those peoples. Again, now we come and ask that you would be with Joel as he brings your word to us. And we pray that we would be here to hear. For your honour and glory. Amen. We're going to sing our third hymn, Come Behold the Wondrous Mystery in the Dawning of the King. And let's stand and sing with the music.
Thank you. Good evening. My name's Joel. It's great to be with you this evening. Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm really looking forward to getting into the passage that we've got in front of us today because it's so rich. But just before we do that, can we pray? Let's pray. Father, would the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to imagine that you're not a Christian, you don't know God, okay? You don't know who he is. And you meet God. Imagine walking up to him. What do you think is the thing that happens next? What happens next? Do you think that he looks at you, turns around, and walks away? I mean, after all, doesn't that actually just make sense? I mean, let's compare us and God for a second. He is someone that never lies. And I sadly have sometimes lied. He is something that gets wrongfully that never gets wrongfully angry. And I often get wrongfully angry. He never thinks wrong things, and if I'm honest, I think wrong things all the time. He's the one who rules the whole universe with justice, peace, and grace, and I'm the one who doesn't really look after the few things that I've got very well at all. And you know, more than anything, more than all of that, in our lives, we push God away all the time. How do you think a God like that will react to you and me? What do you think he's going to do? Well, that is certainly what the Pharisees expected at the start of our passage. Look down in verse 1 and 2 of chapter 15. Please have a Bible in front of you. That would be wonderful. Look in verse 1 and 2. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Jesus sat down and welcomed lots of sinners. And these uber religious types, with great pride, they stand around saying, "Really? You are going to eat with them?" It's like saying, it just doesn't make sense. This is not how we think you'll react. This doesn't make sense. And so what Jesus does is he looks at them and he proceeds to tell them three parables, three stories, which show what happens when God is met with people like you and me. And the big question he's answering is this: how does God respond to us? How does God respond to us? Today we're only going to be looking at the second parable, which is the parable of the lost coin. And here we will see two ways that God responds to us. We're going to see two answers to this. And the first is that he seeks our repentance. And second, he rejoices over our repentance. He seeks our repentance and he rejoices over our repentance. We'll get to what repentance means in a minute. So firstly, God seeks our repentance. Look down with me in verse 8. Look all together. It says this: "Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it?" Here, people like you and me, we're described as lost coins. Don't know if you've have been described as a coin. I personally haven't. But if you think about it, it's actually a really clever description. It's really clever. Let me explain. See, I've got a coin here. It's a pound coin. It's not quite the one from the story, but you get the point. See, just like the coin is always meant to be with its owner, we were always meant to be with God as well. That's the way we were originally designed. We were designed to be with the one who owns us, the one who's in charge of us. But see, when a coin is lost, if I put the coin over here for a second, what is it not? It's not with me. It's not with the owner. And in the same way, as we continually reject God, actually We're not with our owner. We're not with who we were made to be. The truth is, because of our sin, because we say to God, shove off. No, I'm not going to live your way. No to your ways. I'm going to be in charge. We're like the lost coin. We're separate from God. And we defy God's good design. And what's the result of that? Well, the answer is that the result is that we have lost our original purpose. Let me say that again. We've lost our original purpose. See, when a coin is lost, I'm not able to spend it. It would just sit somewhere and it would not be used for its purpose because it's away from its owner. In the same way, since we're separate from God, we lose purpose. Our purpose was always to live with him in relationship. Look back to the Garden of Eden. It was beautiful. Our role was to walk with him, to glorify him, and to enjoy him. And yet, since we have rejected him, the result is that we are separate. We are lost. And so maybe you're there thinking, well, it's all right, I'll just go back. And yet, there's another way that we're like the coin. See, just like a lost coin, no matter how much I call for it, no matter how much I whistle, it's not going to walk over to me, is it? And I can try that as much as I want. I can whistle for it. I can say, come on, come on. It's not going to do anything. It's not going to come to me. The truth is, at the end of the day, no matter how much the coin wants to get up and walk over to me, it can't. And in the same way, we need God to come to us. Because we're separate from God. There's no way we can get up and walk to him. He needs to walk to us. Because the Bible says it's like I'm dead in my sin. I can't go to him. And what we need is for God to come to us. And you know the wonderful thing? Is that he does. How does God respond to us? How does God respond to sinners? When we're like coins, well, he searches for us. God seeks our repentance. Look again in verse 8. We're going to read it again. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? How does the woman respond to the lost coin? She searches carefully. She sweeps the entire house until she finds the coin. She goes to every corner and every crevice. She even lights a lamp. And she looks in all the dark corners. That's her response. And the point is that God is like this woman. We as coins are lost. And what does God do? He searches for us like this woman. With the same passion, God goes after people like you and me. And if I pause there for a second, that should absolutely astound us. That should make us fall off our seats. Because the truth is, when we are like the coin, the God of all looks at us and says, do you know what? I'm going to come after you. That is wonderful. What is God's aim? As he comes after us, God's aim is repentance. Repentance is a long word, but it really just means this, that God wants us to stop living our own way and to turn to him. Repentance really just means to turn. It means to turn from our own way of living to serve God and to live his way. It means to go from living for ourselves to living in relationship with him. It's not a simple, do you know what, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, that's it. No, it's a whole heart change. It's a complete reorientation. We see that that's God's aim in verse 10. You can see that that's what he's looking for. God's aim is repentance because he wants relationship with you and me. Even though we are like the coins, he is looking for relationship. And that begs a question, what does this searching actually look like? How does God actually come after us so that then we're going to turn? Well, God searches for people that don't trust him in so many ways. He uses our circumstances. He uses camps, like the one that many of you are on this week. He uses others. But the main way he uses, as we see in Romans 10, the main way he uses is through his word, through the preaching and reading of his word. The Bible, if you like, is like God's letter to us. It's like, let me put it this way, it's like a map, right? As we're going one way, we read God's word, we see that we're sinners, we see that we need Jesus, and so we repent, we turn, and we go the other way. God uses all these ways to call him, to call us to himself, but especially the preaching of his words. And it's as if in all these ways, God is calling out to us, saying, repent, turn to me, know me. I desperately want relationship with you. Let me tell you an illustration. A couple of weeks ago, some of us were up in the Lake District. It's beautiful. It was for the Keswick Convention. And while we were there, I decided that it would be a smart thing to go swimming in a river. Right? And I'm swimming in this river, and all of a sudden I come out the water, and it's quite a fast-flowing river, and something feels horrendously wrong. And the answer is that my wedding ring had come off. Okay? Now, that was a big deal at the time. I yelled to my wife, Izzy, my wedding ring's come off! It was a big problem. There was a big panic. And you know, all of us started searching very fervently for that coin. We were looking here and here. I thought I had it on my feet, and I was moving things, and we got friends to start searching. Thankfully, as you can see, someone found it. Okay, so lesson learnt, I'm not going to do that again. But the point is that God's searching makes my passionate searching look tiny. It just doesn't compare. That is how much he wants to know you and me. That is how much he wants relationship with you and me. See, even though we reject God, and he could just put us in the bin, he seeks us out and he comes to us. And nowhere is clearest that we see this than at the cross. In fact, God wanted relationship with us so much that he sent Jesus Christ to die for us, to take the punishment that you and I deserve. You want to know how much God wants to come to you? You just got to look at the cross. Because at the cross, if we accept it, actually he bridged that gap. He took away the punishment. You want to see how much God wants you? Look at the cross. If you don't know God here this evening, let me be clear. You are made to follow this God and you are made to know him. And you are missing your purpose. You are currently in rebellion and rejection against him. And you are lost. And yet because Jesus, the very one who is speaking this, died on the cross and took that punishment, if you repent, if you turn from your own way of living to serve him, because he loves you, he takes you from dead to alive. He takes you from being lost to being found. He brings you into relationship with him. Do you know, maybe you're here and you think, but I'm not sure I really want to know God because he's not actually that good. He's a God that allows suffering. Or I don't believe in God because really, he's distant from me. My idea of God is that he sat up on a cloud judging me. Maybe that's your idea of God. And if that's you, let me tell you, I don't believe in that kind of God either. I believe in the God who sees little me, as this passage says. And even though we are broken, he runs to us, saying, turn to me. It's how you were always made to be. Listen to that call and come to him. Maybe you do trust Jesus as your Lord. Maybe you do know him this evening. Well, to those who already know God, let us pause and firstly praise the Lord for his pursuit of us. That the heavenly God came after people like you and me. That is incredible. And then what we should do is we should lean into a life of repentance. A life of relationship continually. It is wrong to think that God's pursuit of our repentance stops when we become a Christian. God wants us to repent all the time. He wants us constantly to turn from our sin and look to him. Maybe there's somewhere that you know deep down that you need to turn to the Lord. What is that thing that has just popped into your mind? I've got plenty. Where do you need to repent? Don't get me wrong, I know repentance can be really hard because it means admitting that we're broken. It means admitting the truth that actually we're sinners. And in that moment, what should we do? We should remind ourselves that we have never regret repenting before. We never regret turning to God before, and we won't regret repenting now. Rather, it will bring us and it will bring God lasting joy. So let's come to God. Let's repent. How does God react to sinners? How does he respond to sinners? Firstly, God seeks our repentance. And yet the parable doesn't stop there. He doesn't only seek for our repentance. Look at what happens next. We're going to be back in verse 8. Look down with me at your Bibles. It'd be great to have them. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, and she says, "Rejoice with me. I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. How does God respond to us? Firstly, he seeks our repentance. And secondly, God rejoices when we repent. The woman finds the coin. And what does she do when she finds it? Well, I don't know about you, but I kind of expect her just to go, "Great, thanks very much," and walk on. Like, great, okay, I found a coin. But she doesn't. I want you to picture this as we read it. I mean, to us, what she does is she, when she finds it, she calls all her friends and neighbors together. It's like she goes knocking on all the doors down the street and says, "Come on, I found my coin." She goes, she gets all her friends and neighbors. She calls everybody and says, "Rejoice." This rejoicing to us seems completely disproportionate. It's huge. And you know, here's the clincher, here's the point. Even though we are like the coins, when we turn to God, when we repent, he doesn't just put us in his pocket and go, "Great, let's move on." No, what he does is it's as if God goes in the same way to the angels and he grabs them and he says, "Come on, rejoice with me. I found one. I've got one." I mean, think of it like this. When someone turns to God, it makes the living God rejoice. It makes him smile. Even more, it makes him throw a party. I want you to picture standing in heaven in that moment. Close your eyes if you want to. Imagine standing in heaven. And someone walks up to God and whispers in his ear, they go, "Joel. Izzy, what, insert your name there. They've turned to you. They've repented." And what he does is he jumps up. He grabs Angel Gabriel and maybe Angel Michael and all the other angels. I don't know. Think of an angel name. I don't know. Right? And he grabs all of them and he says, "Rejoice with me. Rejoice. Let's celebrate." You may have been to some good parties in your life. I mean, some of us love a good Kaylee, right? It is nothing like this. This is so much bigger. It is seemingly disproportionate. And yet, do you know what this joy tells us? Do you know what this joy tells us? It speaks of how much God values us. It says to us that God sees us as immensely precious. Even though we are just little coins that have completely rejected him, he rejoices like this. It feels disproportionate. And yet that's exactly how God rejoices over us. That is how much he values our repentance and how much he values us. Whether you're a Christian or not this evening, remember this. God values you like this. Do you know, there are 1,000 different ways to apply this, but let me just point out a few. Maybe you're sat here and you think you're too far gone for God. The truth is you're actually too sinful. That he looks at you and he says, no. No, to God you are of immense value. And if you turn to him, he rejoices like this. He leaps for joy. Or maybe actually you think no one really cares for you. I mean, maybe for some of you, you're getting bullied in school. And actually, you feel like no one cares for you. Do you know, here we see a God that loves you immensely. With an intensity that we will never fully understand. I guarantee that your view of God is too small and that mine is too. God is in it with you. To God, you are of immense value. He hasn't abandoned you. He loves you far too much for that. Or maybe actually, you think you're not that important to God. That you just snuck into being a Christian. It's more about those other people, those preachers or the ones that are actually more holy than me. It's about those better ones. God sought you out, and he didn't have a quota, he had your name. And when he found you, he rejoiced like this. You didn't just slip into heaven, and neither did I. There's no such thing as God's last pick or less valued Christian. He values you. Just look at the rejoicing. Whatever your situation, because there are 1,000 other ways to apply this. Whatever your situation, know this. Even though we are sinners, God sees us as immensely precious. Praise the Lord. And so I want us to circle back round to where we started. I want you to imagine meeting God for the first time. And you walk up to him. What happens next? Do you know what he does? He comes after us. And when he's got us, he rejoices. That is what he does. It is completely counterintuitive. It is not what we would expect. But because he is a God that loves us, that's exactly what he does. Isn't God awesome? Let's pray as before we come to the last song. Heavenly Father, we do want to thank you so much that you are a God that comes to us, though we are like the coins, though we are lost and we have rejected you, though the truth is we can't get up and come back to you. Thank you that you are the God who seeks us out and who comes to us, that you are then the God that when we have repented, when we have turned to you, that when we have done that, that you rejoice. Thank you that you love us and you value us like this, even though we are sinners. We praise you. In Jesus' name and for your glory, we pray. Amen. 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 Well, in the words of our last hymn, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. If you're able, please would you stand as we sing. Standing, and as we hear these words, consider what we've heard. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God our Saviour, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen. Please do take a seat.